How many of you have an electronic Bible in your hand of some kind? You're using the phone, an iPad, something else like that. How many of you have a paper Bible? Go ahead and raise your hand. All right. By the way, that's going to be changing in the next several years because of the electronics that we have in our hands and things like that. I can remember growing up my pastor saying, there's nothing greater to the ears of a pastor than to hear the turning of the pages of the Word of God. But we've had to change that in recent years, I think, and the next generation's coming up. There's nothing greater to a preacher than seeing the blue glow of the Word of God sitting in someone's hands. That's just the way that it is, the portability and everything to have the Word of God. The important thing is that we have the Word of God with us. I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to be here to share. I want to thank Pastor for the confidence that he has in us in being able to share the pulpit with him while he was away this morning. But I want to thank you as a people as well for the last 17 years of partnership in the ministry that we've had together, serving as a pastor up until 2006, but then partnering with us in missions and carrying the gospel to, at that time, to us was the uttermost parts of the earth. But now that is our Jerusalem. Ecuador is our Jerusalem, where we have now been commanded to go and to make disciples, beginning there in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then on into the uttermost parts of the earth. I hope you come prepared to church with a piece of paper or a bulletin that you could write on and a pen, because anytime we open up the Word of God, you are getting freebies. If we went into Price Chopper and you had freebies, we'd be all over it, wouldn't we? But you're getting freebies in how, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. You're getting free stuff this morning that you can take and you can give to other people right away. And I want to share with you, just in beginning this morning, a way to share the gospel with someone using the gospel of John. The book of John, really simple. I love giving out the gospel of John because it tells us who is Jesus Christ, why we need him, how to encounter him, and that you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. What greater place to start with someone that has some kind of foundation? By the way, we're living in a world where less and less people have any kind of knowledge of the Bible that we hold in our hands, whether it's electronic or paper. We live in a world where less and less daily have any understanding of Judeo-Christian ethics and base. And so that's going to change, but I still believe we have great opportunity where we are today, as well as around the world, of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the neat thing is that God works in spite of us, does he not? That he takes what we share from his word and his powerful word that is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to give you an opportunity. One of the things that happens with us in Ecuador when we're sharing the gospel is someone will say, yeah, I believe in God. It is a country that is 95% Roman Catholic, and so they are familiar with the Bible. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that he was the Son of God. And when you say, do you believe you're going to heaven? Their answer is, well, I believe in him, and so I hope so. Well, that scares me. Because the Word of God tells me that I can know so. I don't have to hope so. I don't have to cross my fingers. And if the good is greater than the bad, because guess what? My good, the Bible says, is worse than the bad of the bad. That's what our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so there's nothing that I can do to inherit eternal life except through Jesus Christ and through his blood. And so I like to take them to the book of John. And I encourage you to take a piece of paper and a pen and to write this down. I've been a Christian now for 46 years, and I still take notes when someone else is preaching so that I can steal their message. So that I can go into take that message and give it to others, because invariably, it's kind of funny how this works, that what I hear on Sunday from someone preaching, I will encounter a situation during that week where someone will say something very similar that will trigger what I've heard on Sunday in the Word of God that I can share with them. And if I have that written down or typed in, either way, I've got that there in front of me. And so I want to encourage you, John chapter 20 and verse 31, in sharing the Word of God, we won't have time to look at all of these passages, because this is a freebie. This is not the message. This is, you get it for free. You can walk out of here, and please do share it with others. Give it away. You'll get more where it came from. John 20, 31 says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So we can know that we know that we know that we have eternal life, not because we're good, but by believing. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. I like to start at the back of the book of John, give some verses going forward, and then give them a Gospel of John and encourage them to read that, highlighted these verses as they go through that will connect the story as they're going through, because we start with the end game. That's why the book of John was written, that you might know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. John chapter 14 and verse 6, we're going to go backwards. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the rest? Can you help me finish it? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what have we shown now? John 20, 31, you can know that you know. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. You can know, and it's through him. Write down John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them is greater than all. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we started with, you can know that it's through the way, the truth, and the life. He knows his sheep. He gives them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. That's the eternal security aspect of it. So I can know it's the way, the truth, and the life. He gives me eternal life. And then John chapter 10 and verse 10. I love this verse. I love to cut up. I love to have a good time. If in the name of Jesus, he says this, I am come that ye might have life, and that life how? More abundantly. By the way, some of you need to quit drinking pickle juice before you come to church. You need to get that smile on your face, because I am come that ye might have life, and what? That life more abundantly. There is joy. How many of us, when we're driving down the highway and we have a flat tire, or as we heard, the car dies with children in the car, how many of us stop and just say, oh, praise Jesus, I have a breakdown. This is a wonderful opportunity. Amen. We're going to talk to you afterwards if that's the way you are, because something's not right. But I'm come that you might have life, and what? That life more abundantly. And so there's a reason that I have joy and that I have hope in my life on a day-to-day basis. It does not matter what happens. Why? Because John 20, 31, I know the end game. I know the end game. I'm come that ye might have life, and that more abundantly. So we have shown from the Word of God, 20, 31, you can know. 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. 10, 27 to 30, I give them eternal life. 10, 10. That life, and that life more abundantly. John 3:16. I back up there. We're skipping a lot of stuff, but I want to hit some highlights to be able to share the Word of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Jeff. For God so loved Dave. For God so loved Ken. For God so loved Bob, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever Bob believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So I can know it's through the way, the truth, and the life. He gives me eternal life, that life more abundantly. God loved me enough to give me his Son. That's the way, the truth, and the life to be able to come to the Father. And then John chapter 3, verse 3, 5, and 7, the story of Jesus and Nicodemus and his encounter. I love it that Jesus does not answer Nicodemus' question. He gets down to the heart of the matter, and he says this. In similar words, in John 3, 3, 5, and 7, he says this. Except a man be born again, he can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And in 7, he says, don't marvel at this. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I can know that I know that I know. It is by the way, the truth, and the life. He gives me eternal life, and that life more abundantly. God did it for me. He loved me enough to send his Son. I must be born again. And then the last one that I like to share is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we started, these are written that you might believe, in 20:31. And then in the last one here in John 1:12. But as many as what? As received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I encourage you this week, take and give that away. Even if it's with another believer, share that. There's 7 verses that we looked at. There's one for each day. If you have a friend, just write them or talk with them and say, hey, I heard something very, very interesting today. John 20:31 says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What do you think about that? And come back to them tomorrow with another verse and then go backwards. But give them a Gospel of John and start from the back, highlight it for them, and then ask them to read it from front to back. Amen? You now have the tools to go and to do what we're going to be talking about here in the morning service. None of us have any excuse. Let's bow our heads together in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the privilege that we do have of having the Word of God in our hands, no matter how it may be. It is your Word that changes lives. We don't have to say, I hope that one day, maybe if everything lines up and I've done okay, I can get there. When you said it is finished on the cross of Calvary, Jesus, it is paid for. Thank you for the privilege of, even as we've sung about the cross today, of remembering where for us that life began when our sins were paid in full, nothing more to pay. God, may we look at this passage this morning of two men who were on their journey, who were obedient to what was in front of them, and it changed lives. May we be obedient to you, in Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned earlier, I appreciate very much the connection and the relationship that we've had with you for the last 17 years. It has been wonderful, and now God has given us a new community in Ecuador to be able to serve and to love and to be able to grow with. That connectivity is very, very important. We love to look back and to read and to see what's happening in your life. We live in a world that is connected, are we not? If the Wi-Fi goes down in the hotel where we're staying overnight, we're about ready to go to a different one. We want to have everything in connectivity right at our fingers at all time. We want to be connected. We have LinkedIn, we have Twitter, we have Snapchat. I have no use for that. Polaroid used to make paper that would last forever, and now kids take pictures and they want to erase them as quick as they take them. I don't get it. If I get a good picture of my kids, I want to hang on to it. But we love that connectivity. Remember AT&T, reach out and touch someone. We want to be connected. We have the life alert. Help, I've fallen and I can't remember the rest of it, all right? I've fallen and I can't get up, right? We want that connectivity. If you have a business, you're looking for an employee, where do you go? You don't first go to monster.com, you go to your connections, you go to your relationships, you go to the people that you know, because the person that you have is better than the one that you know absolutely nothing about. We all look better on paper than we do in person. You understand what I'm saying? We all look better. You wouldn't believe the stuff that I can do on paper. You'd never have any clue who I really was. We can all do that. We want that connectivity. I believe there is a connectivity that the Word of God here speaks about today that is greater than any other connectivity that we mean, that we have, and it's the greatest thing that Latham Bible Baptist Church needs today. And don't think I'm picking on you, because wherever I would be preaching this morning, I'd be saying the exact same thing, because it's exactly the connectivity that that church needs. It's the connectivity that we need all throughout New York State, throughout the United States of America, and then from everywhere in the world, is believers that function and act exactly what we find here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. I want you to look with me very carefully at this, and then we'll explain the passage in the context. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Can you read with me the rest of it? What does it say? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's say that together, that last phrase. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do you realize that that is the number one connectivity that is going to make a difference in the world in which we live? I just gave you a tool of how to share the Word of God, and the Word of God is powerful and will do its work. But you and I have a powerful tool, and that is our relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am, the Creator of the universe, God Almighty. And what made a difference that day? As people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the word went out, there was a key factor, and it was this. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I've had the privilege while I've been here in the United States to purchase a smoker online. I bought a $15 Brinkman smoker, and I love to smoke chicken, meats. Last night we did a beef. I mean, if I am out there, I can't wait to start up that charcoal and just to smell it, because we don't have smoking wood in Ecuador. We have wood that has all kinds of tar and sap, and we can't do it. Do you know what my shirt smells like when I come in from smoking the meat? I don't mean smoking the meat. I mean smoking the meat to eat. Let's make sure we understand what we're talking about here. I smell like smoke. I smell like whatever is around me. When my children would come home, I learned this from a police officer back at a youth rally down in Poughkeepsie about 25 years ago. He said, "Pastor, when your kids come home, here's what I want you to do. I want you, no matter what they do, I don't care where you think they've been, I want you to wrap your arms around them and give them the greatest big hug that you absolutely can." We're a huggy family, so we do this regularly. He says, "I want you to bury your nose in their hair, and I want you to take a deep whiff. I love you." He says, "You will know where they have been. You will know what they have been doing. You'll know how they were, who they were with, and how long they've been there." And so when they came home, I do love you, children. I'm sorry that you're here to hear this morning, but guess what? I would give them a great big hug, and I am so glad that you're here. All right, I'm picking up pepperoni pizza. No anchovies. They were with Samantha. Very good possibility. They were driving a car that leaks oil. I mean, I could tell all kinds of things just because of the way that they smelled. And I'd ask them some questions. And I would never ask them a question that I didn't already know the answer to. I smelled pizza, and so if they told me, "Well, we went out for Chinese," I'd have some more questions about, "Well, how was that pizza? Dad, how did you know we had pizza?" "Because you have a pepperoni smell in your hair." Because it rubbed off on them. What do we find here in the Word of God? Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray in Acts chapter 3, as was the normal custom. We're in a time in the church of transition. The church starts in Acts chapter 2. We're in a time of transition where from the Old Testament they had been accustomed, from the time of the tabernacle in the desert to the time of the temple in Jerusalem, of going to a place of worship. And Peter and John go up in the afternoon, and they get to the temple, and there's a man that everyone knew that has been laying there at the gate. He was lame since birth. We don't see that a whole lot here in the United States, but where we live in Ecuador, we can go down certain streets and we know what cripple, what handicapped person, or what other issue we're going to find on that street, someone begging for a little bit of food. There is one street that we go down. It is a six-lane highway going both directions. There is a man with his legs cut off above the knees. He's got socks all the way up to his hips and pads, and he sits there on the white dotted line. And he just smiles and he holds out his hands. He is the happiest no-legged man I have ever met in my entire life. I've never met other no-legged men, but he is the happiest. And he is there. You can count on going down that street. You will find him there. It's exactly what we encounter here in the Word of God. They're going up to a temple. There's a man that had been lame since birth, and he's laying there at the temple, and he says, "I need something." Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, rise up and walk." The Bible says his ankles, his legs began to get strength, and he stood up and walked, and all of the people went, "What happened?" Because they'd seen him in his condition beforehand. Peter, by the way, never missed an opportunity to open up his mouth. If I was John with him that day, Bob down here is smiling because he knows the stories of Peter from the Word of God. Peter opened up his mouth and nobody even asked him to preach, but he gave a message in Acts chapter 3. And then after they were in front of the religious leaders, he gives almost the exact same message in Acts chapter 4. And I encourage you to go read that this afternoon because it's really rich stuff. Peter opens his mouth, and if I was John that day, I'm sure Peter's my good friend. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him do miracles. They had seen him put off those that were trying to make him king. But if I was John that day and Peter opened up his mouth, from what I knew of Peter, I'd have been going off in the corner and saying, "Oh no, here we go. We're going to die." Literally.
Do you remember it's Peter that was with Jesus and Jesus wanted to wash the disciples' feet? And Peter says, well, you're not going to wash my feet. You're our Savior. You're the Lord. Well, then fine. If you're going to do it, just give me a whole bath. That was my translation, but pretty much that's what he said in just a few words. It was Peter who, when the storm came, saw Jesus coming to them walking on the water. And by the way, don't forget that when the storm is there, God puts you there if you're one of his children. It's not by accident, the trials and the challenges that you go through. There are some man-made that we bring upon ourselves for the things that we have done that we have to pay the consequences for. But there's other ones that God directs us and guides us, the trials that are there for a short amount of time. This earth is not our home. This is not even the warm-up party for eternity. That's the millennium, where we rule and reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. It was Peter when the storm and Jesus said, if it is, or Jesus came to him and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. And so what did he do? He got outside of the boat and then he looked around and saw that the waves were there and got discouraged and did what? Started to sink. And praised the shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. Lord reaches out his hand and immediately saves him. Before we condemn Peter, you and I would have still been huddled up with one another in the boat, not caring who we hugged, just holding on because we might float better than they did. It was Peter in the garden. When they came to take Jesus, he grabbed the sword, and instead of taking out somebody of importance, he whacked off the ear of a servant. And Peter speaks up because he had seen the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it had changed his life. When they listened to the way that they had spoken, they marveled, understanding that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Didn't mean that they did not have the capacity, but they had not been schooled in all of the right words of the law to say. And what does the Bible say? They took note of them that what? They had been with Jesus.
Can I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, and I ask myself the same question this morning. If people meet you for the first time or the 100th time, would they be able to say that he or she is a man or woman who has been with Jesus? When I speak about being with Jesus, I'm not talking about just doing our daily quiet time, though that is important, but we can go through the ritual of it and never meet with Jesus. Though we have all of the tools of all of eternity that is there before us, we cannot meet with Jesus just simply by being there and doing that. You can come to every single church service, unless we open up our ears and are willing to learn and grow and change from the Word of God, we can come every single Sunday for every single day of our lives, or every week of our lives, and still not have been with Jesus. You can have the greatest prayer diary. You can go on the greatest missions trips. You can go overseas. You can serve. You can be in full-time ministry, vocationally, all of this. But it boils down to that one question. Have you been with Jesus? I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 4 years old. I never once doubted my salvation. At that point, I realized that I was a sinner. Dad shared with me from the Word of God that I was condemned to a place called hell that was created for the devil and for his angels for all of eternity. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That day, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never once doubted in those 46 years my salvation, though I have no doubt that at times, by the way that I lived, others probably did doubt my salvation. I know when to stand up. I know when to speak up. I know when to shut up. I know when to sit down. I know when to give. I know when to withhold. I know the aspects of being and doing church. But have we been with Jesus? It's not the out here, but it's the in here that makes the difference. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They were not skilled in all areas of the law. The Bible says this. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. My heartbeat is this morning, even if you leave at this moment, is that you walk out of those doors with a renewed commitment to be with Jesus. It will change you from the inside out. You may have all of the tools to share the Word of God as I have given you one. I could stand up here and tell you how to do an evangel cube. I could stand up here and tell you how to do a rope trick. I can figure out what number you're going to give me and tell you that God knows everything about you. I know all kinds of tools and methods of sharing the Word of God, and I'd love to be able to share some of those with you at some dates. But I can do all kinds of fancy stuff. But if I've not been with Jesus, they're going to pick up on it really, really quick. And it's not going to have the testimony and the impact that it could if we have been with Jesus. Remember in the book of Acts here that we're in a time of transition. It's a time of transition from the Old Testament to the New, and it's a time from a new covenant of Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, and we can worship in John chapter 4 in any place where we are in spirit and in truth. It does not have to be just in a temple, though I'm so glad God's given us the privilege and called us that at least once a week we gather together with other believers to celebrate, to have a party, a fiesta in His name. He's called us to gather together, to be strengthened, to be able to go back out. We are a dysfunctional family, are we not? Some of you may not look forward to Christmas dinner with your family because Uncle Ted's going to be there. I just pulled that name out of my head. I don't have an Uncle Ted, but you might. You know, the family's going to be, guess what? Every time you come to Sunday, there's going to be dysfunctional people that are here. Every time you come to Wednesday, there's going to be dysfunctional people that are here. In the Garden of Eden, there were only two people, and guess what? They were dysfunctional. Some of us take it to the next level and we're super dysfunctional, but they were dysfunctional. All they had to do was obey, do not eat that one fruit. And what'd they do? They were discontent with all that God gave them. They wanted that one thing, and they took it, they ate, because their way was better than God's way. It's a different message, but I'm pretty well convinced that every sin has its root in dissatisfaction with God. The reason is because everything that we want is because God hasn't given it to me the way that I want it at this moment, when I want it and how much of it. It's very interesting. When we're in Ecuador, I miss Snickers bars here from the United States. Now, I can buy them, but they're about $2, which I realize they're getting that expensive here as well. But since I can't have a Snickers bar at the rate that I want it, I crave a Snickers bar. There are no Reese's cups, so if you come to visit us, just bring a whole bag of Reese's cups. I will hug you, I will stick my nose in your hair, and I will sniff real deep. All right? So we've been here now for almost 10 months. You know what I crave here? Guatita, seco de pollo, seco de chivo. My kids are losing them right now. I'm missing chicken stew. I'm missing cow stomach. I'm missing all kinds. We eat everything that is part of the animal. It doesn't matter what it is. You know what? I want those things. Why? Because we don't have them here. Adam and Eve had everything that was before them, and they wanted the one thing that God said, no. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? I want to make a graven image because a spirit God is not enough for me. I want something that I can touch and handle. Thou shalt not covet. You see, everything is based upon us wanting something that God says, this is the more perfect way that I have for you. The church at this time was in a time of transition. Do you remember that when we were in school, there was a time when we would do addition and subtraction? And up through kindergarten, first, second grade, we became masters of addition and subtraction. We could line up the numbers. Jordan's not here, so I can pick on him. I think Mrs. Parker is the last teacher that ever taught him anything all the way up through the end of his college and career. Because everything that he ever mentions school-wise, he goes back to third grade class with Mrs. Parker. He still lines up all of his math problems and draws a line straight through them to know that everything is lined right straight up when he's completed with that row. He just follows that to a T. We find in the book of Acts, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We find multiple times that again and again and again it says it was added. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. There were added to the church, added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47, as I mentioned, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, and much people were added to the Lord. And I believe it was because the believers were authentic in that day. Not all of them perfect, because there is no such believer that way. But the difference was there were men and women that followed Peter and John who had been with Jesus. You come up to Acts chapter 12 and verse 24, it says the word grew. Remember about in third grade when it changes from addition and subtraction to multiplication? It says the word of God grew and multiplied. Why? I believe in part because their lives had been changed. That people had seen that they were with Jesus. Peter and John going up to the temple. Peter does not miss an opportunity to share what he knew and to preach to those that were around him. If I were John, I'd been off to the side and said, I don't want anything to do. Remember, it was Peter that was there outside of the judgment hall on the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was being tried? It was Peter that said, I don't know who that man is. Nope, I'm not one of his followers. Jesus had told him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Second time comes along. Aren't you one of his followers? Oh, no. He gets a little bit more strong, a little more forceful. No, I'm not one of his followers. Third time, the Bible says that he swore and said, no. It's this same Peter that stands up that they say, you know what? There's something different about this guy. And by the way, it was not an easy time to stand up and say the right and to do the truth. Why? Because they had just crucified Jesus, the Son of God. They could have been next. And he opened up his mouth and he let it fly. But there was a difference. It wasn't the words that he used. It was something different that he had been with Jesus. I realize it was a special time in the life of the church. But so is today, because Jesus said, I will build my church upon Peter's words that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God can do the same thing today as he did in that day. I realize it was a special coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, but he is here with us, indwelling the believers that are here today, and he is in us as we go out from here. As you go to work tomorrow, do you realize that the Holy Spirit is there in that place, no matter how ungodly or godly it may be? The Holy Spirit is there through you. I realize there was persecution in Acts chapter 7 that sent the people out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And then in Acts chapter 13, they chose those to go out into the uttermost parts of the known earth of that time. I know all of this, but there was something special. It was that they were known as being with Jesus. Friend, how about you this morning? Are you known as one who has been with Jesus? The next couple of minutes in our time together, I want to share with you what I believe here in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Are, I believe, three indications of one who has been with Jesus. And it may be the time for us to get back to that ground, that foundation. Read with me, if you would, Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. One who has been with Jesus is this. I believe it is one who runs to the cross. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. I believe one who has been with Jesus is one who runs to the cross. Second, it is one who rejoices in the resurrection. And third, it is one who repeats the story of salvation. And I will share these with you again. But look with me at Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. One who has been with Jesus is one who runs to the cross. 4:10 says this, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what does he say here? Whom ye crucified. It's not a very pleasant presentation. He says almost the same words in Acts chapter 3. Verse 15, he says, you killed the Prince of Life. I believe they were men who are known as having been with Jesus because they went back to the cross. You read through time and time again in the New Testament, you come across messages by some of the greatest preachers of all time. And what do? They go back to the cross, where it was all paid for. Brother Mike asked me about the message this morning. I said, let's sing about the cross. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We sang at the cross. We sang the power of the cross. We're going to close in a few minutes with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that you and I daily go back to the cross. Not just once a week. Not just when we see it presented. Not just at Easter time. But daily run back to the cross where my sins were forgiven. I realize some of you stumble and have difficulty in your life because of the past that has taken place, and you just cannot get over the sin or the stumble, the fall, the pit that you have been in. Do you realize that those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation? He says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if someone else is going to carry it, why would you carry it? He paid for it all. Leave it there. Turn from it. Run away from it. And when you mess up, which you will. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess, he is what? He's going to think about it, determine whether he's going to forgive us or not. Is that what it says? No, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, we need to go back to the cross. To rejoice in what he has done for us. Leave that sin there. And when I mess up, say, I'm so sorry. I know what you've done. I want to forsake it and I want to leave it. I want to run back to the cross. When I served here as a pastor, we had the privilege of going up to a cabin in Maine, Liberty Baptist Church. Anybody here from Maine? Good, we can talk about the people from Maine then, can't we? They talk funny up there. My mother-in-law is from the South. She's from South Carolina. And she'll say every once in a while, those people down there, they talk funny. Well, guess what? The people up in Maine have their own language. And if you've ever been around them, you'll know really quick that it's different than what we speak here in the Albany area. We went up to that church to vacation. And on Sunday morning, we gathered together. It's literally in the middle of nowhere. If you think Inlet is in the middle of nowhere, you go 30 miles to the middle of nowhere. You're not at the end of the world, but you can see it from where you are. You turn left, go another 30 minutes, and you're there. And all of a sudden, there's this church in the middle of nowhere. Sunday morning, it is jam-packed full. We went in there with the kids on a Wednesday night. We're sitting there singing. Everything is great. And by the way, Brother Henry, I encourage you not to do this. Song leader gets up. We sang a few songs. He grabs the pulpit, leans over it, and in a voice that was, I don't know from where, he says, let's sing a bloody one. My kids looked at me and said, Dad, you're getting us out of here at this moment, aren't you? And they as a church began to sing about the cross. They began to sing about the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, I think you and I daily need to come back and we need to sing a bloody one. We need to go back to and remember the cross of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Peter had no problem in his messages going back. And I believe one who is known as being with Jesus is one who regularly runs back to the cross. Perhaps you're here today and you need to run to the cross for the very first time to receive that forgiveness. You heard as I shared from John chapter 10, you can know that you know that you know, John 20:31, that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess. Why not make today that first day when you run to the cross? Second thing I catch in the message here is it's not only one who runs to the cross, but it's one who rejoices in the resurrection. One who rejoices in the resurrection. Look what it says here. Verse 10. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, say the next phrase. What is it? Whom God raised from the dead. Jesus did not stay there. By the way, that's where in the message we ought to hear hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus, amen, something. He did not stay in the grave. He rose again. That's right. You realize in Ecuador, they celebrate Good Friday. They have great processions that go down the street. They carry great crosses with them, some of them made out of telephone poles. They beat themselves. They put barbed wire around their heads and around their waist, trying to do some kind of penance in order to win favor with God and to thank him for what Jesus did on the cross. There's music, a song in the background that is playing, Jesus the Great Power. And yet they're trying to pay for something that's already been paid. And you know what happens? Sunday comes, everybody's in bed, nobody cares. Every cross in the churches has Jesus hanging there, still paying for your sins and for mine. He is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. You see, my sins have been forgiven, but I get the hope of eternity, of the resurrection, because he was the firstborn. He was the one that rose first from the grave. That song that we sang, The Power of the Cross, talks about the earthquake that took place there. When I was in Ecuador in April, I spoke on either side of the earthquake anniversary where we had a 7.8 earthquake, and I preached the earthquake that changed our confidence. From Matthew chapter 27, and it was this. It gave us access to the Father because the curtain was torn in two. It gave us the hope from the future because the graves opened up. And after Jesus rose from the grave, those that were dead were arose and they walked into the city. I don't remember what the third point was, but I'm sure it was good. I'll have to go back and study it again. You see, that changed our confidence. It's not an earthquake that shook our confidence, but it gave us confidence. Why? Because he rose again from the grave. My sins were nailed to the cross. My hope is set on eternity. Why? Because my Savior lives. That brings us to the third thing that must be a part of every one of us. One who's been with Jesus is one who runs to the cross. It's one who rejoices in the resurrection. But I see here in verse 12, it's also one that repeats the story of salvation. It's one that repeats the story of salvation. It says here from the Word of God, neither is there salvation in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Whereby ye must be saved. Can I suggest to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that all three of those things are important if we're going to be known as men and women who have been with Jesus. If I don't run to the cross, I'm going to carry my sin with me, and it's going to cause me to be ineffective because what has already been paid for has been left back there. I don't pay for it again. I live in hope and in change for the future. If I don't rejoice in the resurrection, I don't have hope for the future. I'm looking back at where I was, but he's rescued us out of there to bring us to the next. And if we don't share it, how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear? By the way, I can share it all I want. It is powerful. It's going to change lives. But if I want to be known and seen as one who has been with Jesus, I've got to run back to the cross. I got to rejoice in the resurrection to have that testimony match up to every single thing that I say, because my life lives that way. Let's bow our heads together in a word of prayer. I don't know your condition this morning and where you are in your heart, but in just a minute, we're going to sing the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the King of Glory shed his blood for me. Friend, perhaps you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. Can I remind you, as we shared with you from John 20:31, that this is written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Would this day be the first day that you run to the cross for forgiveness? The cross is wide open. Jesus does not close that invitation to the time when it is your last breath. Then after that, it's too late. Won't you receive him as your Savior this day? Christian, as I look out amongst you, I know many of you by name. Had the privilege of serving with you, I know many of your heartbeats. But to be effective, to see the world change through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you come back with me and run to the cross? Just even when we sing that song, maybe you need to stand quietly and listen to the words as others sing. And let those words sink in. But will you repeat the story of salvation? You have the tools. You have others that I've not given, but you have them. Let's be known as men and women who are different because we've been with Jesus. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're looking forward to that day when we stand face to face with you and with your Son, Jesus Christ. May we during this time be known as men and women who have been with Jesus, that we make a difference in the world in which you have placed us as we journey. That we would run to the cross to receive that forgiveness. We would rejoice in the resurrection, knowing that you didn't stay in the grave, but you conquered death. You put death to death through your resurrection. Lord, may it affect us so much that we can't help but go day by day to be able to repeat that story of salvation because you've changed our lives. May we see those around us come to know you as their Lord and Savior, not because we're special, but because you are. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.